Well, good morning. It's nice to be here. I would like to follow up with this prayer that was prayed and just say that at the end we would like to consider this thought of being more conformed to Jesus Christ. That's where we'd like to go. I appreciate the prayer. I'm going to ask you a question. We've all built puzzles, right? My parents-in-law actually spend a lot of time building puzzles. They're older, and I guess that's good for the older mind to build a puzzle. The goal of the puzzle, right, in the end, is you want to see that big picture, right? You want to see it all come together. And as you're working through that puzzle, you know, you may see a set of pieces that fit together, right? And picture this puzzle, if you will. Here's some pieces that fit together, and it's actually a picture of one of your children. Okay? And you can pick out face pieces, and you're putting them together, and they come together, and there's that face. And as you put more pieces together, you can see pieces of a window frame, okay, or some window. And as you put the pieces together, you see that the face of your child's within a window. Okay, and as you keep on going, you see that there's a train car. Okay, and you put more pieces together, and your daughter or your son is inside the window that's in a train car. And as you continue, you put together more pieces, and she's on a train. And as you put the background together, she's on a train that's approaching home. Okay? All those pieces of that puzzle become very key to understanding really what's going on. Right? I mean, your daughter could be anywhere. She could be in the window of a home in her college dorm or wherever. But seeing that whole picture provides quite a bit of understanding, doesn't it? And I think as we get older, we understand that when we study the scriptures, and we study one chapter, right, we're getting one piece or one section of that puzzle. But there's tremendous value in seeing that picture of your daughter, son, as it fits into the whole piece. And as a matter of fact, interpreting the expression on her face, okay, can be helped by seeing that, you know what, she's on her way home. And you can understand the smile that was on her face. Okay, where if we just seen that picture with just her face, we wouldn't know the context of why she was smiling or what she might be smiling about. And in light of that, I'd like this morning to try to look at some big picture thoughts in the book of John. And instead of drilling down into a specific passage, which I personally really like to do, I'd like to look at the book of John as a whole and take three big picture type thoughts, three, shall we call them, themes that run all the way through the book of John, and themes that as we understand the book of John, we actually understand the individual pieces better as well. So, if you will, turn to John. And I'm going to give you three themes, and it's actually the last of the three themes that I'd like to emphasize the most, but I want to give the other two because I think that they're just helpful in establishing a little bit about John. And let me list these themes for you, and I don't think at least a couple of them are going to come as a surprise. Okay? The book of John. What perhaps could be considered a main theme in the book of John? And we will look at this, but let me give you these themes. The book of John was written that we might know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Right? Jesus Christ is the Son. That's theme one. Okay? The second theme, okay, is that we might, that Jesus Christ came that we might be sons of God. Jesus Christ came that we might be sons. First one, that we might know that He is the Son of God. The second one is that Jesus came that we might become sons. The last and third one is that Jesus came to model or to be the example of the walk of a son. Jesus came to be the model or to the example of how a son should walk. So let's look at these three. We're going to develop these. Again, the first two are going to be a little bit shorter, just as an overview, because I believe that those are fairly straightforward. And then we'll look specifically at this last one about Jesus being the model of how a son should walk. Turn with me to the last chapter of John to catch this first point about a central theme of this book being that Jesus Christ... Rather, turn to John chapter 20. Verse 31. And it says in verse 30, Many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these what? These signs, the signs that have been written, okay, there's many that have not been written, but these that have been written for what reason? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. These signs that were given, let's just think about those signs. I'll review them for you. You know them. Okay? Seven of them that come before His death. Seven signs that came before His death. Remember, the water to wine. The second one, the healing of the nobleman's son. The third one, the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda that had been lame for those 38 years. The fourth one that we find in all the Gospels, a very unique one in that sense, the feeding of the 5,000. The fifth one, walking on the water. The sixth one, the healing of the blind man. And the seventh one, the raising of Lazarus. You remember these seven signs? What were the purpose of those signs? What was the purpose of the signs? Well, before we go to the obvious, what do we see when we see these signs? And I'm going to give you a definition, and then interpret that definition and then bring it back to this statement that we read in John chapter 20. Glory, the word glory, means to cause the dignity and worth of a person or thing to become known. I'll read that again. Glory is to cause the dignity and worth of a person or thing to become known. Now, those seven signs, did those cause the dignity or the worth of Jesus Christ to be known? Let's just take a look at the last one. The resurrection of Lazarus. Okay? If you will believe, Jesus says to the sisters, you will see the glory of God. Okay? And what does Jesus do? He raises Lazarus, right, from that tomb. Behold, he stinketh. He was a dead man, beginning to decay. Everyone was sorrowing, right? And Jesus raises this one. What did he say would happen? You'll see my glory, right? What was that glory? That we might see the dignity, that we might see the worth of who he was. He did what no other man could do. Are we understanding that he's different than any other man? No other man had those type of abilities. Neither did in any others of the six other signs. Did we have this? And what do we find in John chapter 1? I'll just read this verse. And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so John, in order that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, has given us these signs to show us that unlike any other man, Jesus proved himself through these signs and other ways, proved himself to be the very Son of God. This is why this book is written. This is one of the reasons why this book is written. And Jesus makes claims. You remember the claims? These seven claims that he makes? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the